This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Scaredy Chat, the podcast where we talk about all of your childhood fears, plus a few things that are scaring us right now. I'm Caitlin Riley.
And I'm Monica Suriagi.
Welcome back, guys. It is officially spooky season. We are right in the middle of it. We are awaiting Halloween. It's going to be great. But yeah, I mean, everybody knows that Halloween is not just one day. It is not just one weekend. It is an entire season, at least a month long. And yeah, Monica and I are constantly celebrating Halloween in a way, but...
Oh my gosh, yes. Halloween to us, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle choice. It's an oath we have taken to uphold.
Amazing. Yeah. So this season has been kind of much better than last year's, where I felt like I celebrated Halloween by basically just being inside my house watching movies. There were no costumes. There were no haunted houses. It was tragic. But in celebration of that, we are, of course, talking about scary movies, revisiting a scary movie that we talk about all of the time on the podcast, and also two movies that are new that Monica actually saw in a movie theater sitting down. How crazy. Last year, that would be so scary in itself. So
that would be a horror in itself. Exactly. And I just need to reiterate to everyone listening that a Caitlin without her haunted houses is like a comedian without access to Twitter. Very sad.
Very, very, very sad. And this year, so it's already, when we're recording this, guys, by the way, it is October 4th. So very, very, very early into spooky season for us. But when you listen to this in the near future, it'll be a little deeper into the season for you. But I've already been to 2 haunted houses.
All of you listening, you know by now that a key part of Caitlin's personality is her love of haunted houses. Do you want to go with her? No. Does she care? No, you're coming, because that is what this month is all about for Caitlin Riley. So we thought it would be good for all of you out there who are also obsessed with haunted houses or are maybe just getting into it to get some wise knowledge from the queen of haunted houses herself. So everybody, this is a new segment, especially for the Halloween season, called Caitlin's Haunts, where she's going to count down her top tips for attending haunted houses.
Well, thank you so much, Monica, for that absolutely lovely introduction. As everybody knows, I try to hit as many haunted houses in the LA area as I can. And when I was living other places, I would also try to hit all of the haunted houses that I could possibly go to. I actually remember I dragged my dad to several haunted houses in New York when I was too young to like go by myself. And it was, you know, it was very lovely. But
aww.
Yeah, I think he liked it. I think that he was down, but I did see some weird stuff with my dad that maybe probably shouldn't have seen. Anyway.
Father-daughter bonding.
It's like just like a lot of like decapitated heads. So I have been to so many haunted houses. Every year I try to hit at least 5, upwards of 10. Sometimes I go to them in the off season too when they're available, which you would think wasn't a thing, but in LA, definitely a thing. And yeah, I have some tips for people who are trying to have like their best, spookiest experience. And if you're in LA, this is going to be especially relevant to you. But if not, I feel like everybody could kind of relate. You know, there's haunted houses all over. I think the first thing you have to think about is how much time you actually want to wait on lines. So my first tip, if you are line phobic like I am, is get a fast pass. That is the number one tip that I have, because if there's nothing worse than going from being, oh, I'm so like afraid, but I'm excited. Oh, I wonder if they're going to jump out at me, to, oh my God, how long have we been waiting in this line? It's been 45 minutes. It's been an hour. It's been 2 hours if you're at Halloween Horror Nights. Okay, so that to me just ruins the experience a little bit. The second tip I would say is, while you're waiting in this line, avoid terrible haunted house goers. Is that a good way to phrase that? I'm not sure. But the second tip is basically all about having a good experience once you get inside. Because usually in these haunted houses, the lines don't just end when you're in the haunted house. Usually what happens is your line kind of snakes through the haunted house. Because usually the haunted house lets in, you know, like your party, but then also like the party or two in front of you. So maybe you and your friends are super chill with everything. You know, you guys are going to like, you know when to scream and when not to, you know, when to move and when to like pause for like, you know, the dramatic scare effects and everything. But if you go with somebody, if you go with a group where they just freeze and scream and don't let you pass, or worse, they're like running around the whole haunted house and just being a chaotic mess, that is going to totally change your experience. So, for example, at Halloween Horror Nights, one of the things that I like to avoid is younger kids, especially, no shade, but if you're with a group of like 13-year-olds in front of you, they're going to scream at everything. They're going to be taking out their phones. They might even punch like a poor guy in a skeleton mask. It's just, it's not going to be pretty. And you are not going to get the full effect of the haunted house because you're so worried about what are these crazy kids going to do that is going to ruin my good time. And then there's also the people who they are so afraid that they kind of steal all of your scares. So what happens in a lot of haunted houses is you're going to walk through the haunted house. People are kind of like scaring people on a timeline. So they scare like every fourth guest or something, or they scare somebody like every 35 seconds. But if they see that somebody is like particularly prone to being afraid, they tend to scare those people more than they scare you. So you're going to basically watch somebody else get the jump scare that you kind of want, that you kind of crave. And I just think that's...
that you paid for.
Exactly. You paid for that. You paid for that. You're not getting it. So my thing is just be cautious about who is in front of you in line. Do like a quick personality assessment, maybe chat with them. And then if they seem just like a bad time, move to the back, you know, move a few people down, just pretend, make an excuse, pretend that's your friend, you know, four rows back, and you just hop in there, and it's going to be a better time for you, I promise. So here's my last tip. And this tip is about who is in your own party. Now, as Monica can attest, I love dragging people to haunted houses, but you don't want to drag the wrong person to a haunted house. So this tip is, make sure all of your friends are chill. So look, if you've ever been to a haunted house before with a group of friends, you know that there's going to be somebody who's extremely afraid and somebody who, you know, could just walk through as though they were like walking through a supermarket. And you do need like a good mix of those people in order to have a good time, because you want the person who's having the most fun being scared. But you don't want someone who you actually are going to traumatize by going through this haunted house. I did have an experience with this when I was in high school, and I felt so terrible because this person was genuinely like too afraid of this haunted house. Like, they should not have gone through it. It was not a good vibe. Like, I felt so bad about it. Like, they really just like, it like really unsettled them. And I love dragging people to haunted houses, but I never want to bring somebody who is like truly not okay with what they're doing or what they're seeing. So I think that if you have a friend who feels very, very apprehensive about going with you, just be like, it's okay. Like, sit this one out. Like, I'm not gonna drag you to something that you're uncomfortable with. Also, don't bring your most aggressive friend to these haunted houses. don't bring the person who, you know, if somebody like accidentally bumps into them at a bar, is like going to punch their face. I don't think you should be friends with those people in general. I feel like that is a toxic friend and a toxic trait in a person. But when you're in these haunted houses, people are trying to fuck with you. Like, that is the entire goal of that. And if you feel like your friend is like a little too excited to have an excuse to hit someone, that is not the kind of person you want to bring into a haunted house. You will get kicked out. They will not give you your money back. And you're going to have a bad time. And the haunted house is supposed to be a super fun time. And if you ruin my haunted house experience, I will never talk to you again. So there's that.
And so they will have deserved it.
They will have deserved it.
All right. So to recap, Caitlin's top three tips for having the best hauntingly haunted time is 1, bring a fast pass, you cheapskates. 2, do a little look around on who's with you in line. Do they suck? Maybe you should move. And 3, do your own friends suck? Don't bring them. I think those are solid tips, Caitlin. I am going to keep these in mind the next time you make me come with you.
Yeah, don't worry. Monica, you're not any of those people. So I appreciate that about you. Obviously.
Oh, thank you.
I happily dragged you to one of these haunted houses.
And it was fun. The whole time I was like, Caitlin, I know you get this. The whole time I'm at a haunted house, I'm worried that there is a real killer who has come under the shield of fake fear who is going to actually stab me. That's the problem.
Well, it's so funny you say that because I sent this article to you a couple of days ago. Basically, the article is literally like, a boy is stabbed at a haunted house by an actor who brought real knife. So that is the headline. So obviously, I send that headline to Monica immediately, having not opened this article yet. So I'm like, oh my God, it's our greatest fear, blah, 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 blah. And then I actually read the article. And this is a good lesson in media literacy, everyone, because if you don't read an article, you really shouldn't be sending it to people. So I click this article, I open it, and I read it. And this is what happened to this kid at the haunted house. 1, the kid is fine. The kid was baiting an actor. Sorry if this kid is, you know, apologies to this kid who did get somewhat injured. But this kid apparently was like talking to this actor and was like, you don't have a, you know, you're not really going to hurt me, like blah, 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 blah. And then what happened was, I guess the actor in a mask, in a costume or whatever, came up to him and hit his foot with what they said was a real knife. I don't really understand that part. But the funniest thing about this is this poor kid was wearing Crocs, which have those holes in them. And I guess he got like a cut on his foot after, you know, after he came over and he hit him with this knife. It was a total accident, apparently, allegedly. But the funniest thing about it is, 1, this headline is like, oh my God, this poor kid, is he okay? Is he alive? The kid and his mom went through the whole haunted house. Like, this was like waiting online for this to happen. But like, after he was quote unquote stabbed and like got a Band-Aid, he like just, he went through the house like everything was fine. So I have yet to see a real killer in a haunted house scenario. I hope I never do. But I just thought it was hilarious that it was like, oh, you are preying on this fear that we all have, but also nobody actually got hurt.
Right.
Great.
It's like whoever wrote that article knows people are afraid of that. That's why they titled it that way. But
oh,
I'm going to throw in a fourth tip, Caitlin. 4, wear closed shoes, you idiots. Why are you wearing Crocs and something like that?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, so now we have a new segment, which this is a Monica title, which I think is extremely clever. Friend or phobia? So for this segment, we're going to guess a phobia that has an unusual name that we can't just guess. And I'm going to basically be quizzed by Monica on what this is. So Monica, what is the phobia that you have for me this time around?
Oh, yes. Let me tell you that I spent a lot of time on Google earlier today reading about weird phobias. There are so many things you can be afraid of that you would think you would not be afraid of. There's a lot. But this one felt right. You know, I came across this one and I was like, ooh, for our first one ever, yes, we're going to go with this one. And I don't know if I'm saying this right, because also all of these phobias are incredibly difficult to say. So I'm trying. This phobia is generally thought of actually as a combination of a lot of other phobias put together. It's called Samwinophobia. What do you think it is, Caitlin?
Is it a fear sanguine?
Samwin? Can you hear this? Okay, this is like the article doing its own pronunciation. Let me see if you can hear it. Did you hear that?
No.
I wish you could hear it.
It's okay. I can always look it up later.
Well, it's spelled, it's spelled Samhainophobia.
Okay, so I still have no idea how to pronounce.
Samwinophobia.
So it's not the fear of blood. The only reason I say that is because sanguine, I think, is blood, but that's not the word. So I don't know why I'm continuing to guess that. And it's a bunch of phobias all put together.
This article kind of fudges you to want to think that, but okay. It's really, yeah, that's partially the definition.
Is it a fear of, like, animals?
It can be specific kinds, depending on a lot of other things. That is not a helpful hint.
Is it a fear of zoos?
Oh, no, you're going in the wrong direction. Veer away.
Okay. Is it a fear? Okay, can I ask questions?
Of course.
Okay, is it a fear of something that, like, is it a fear of something that, like bugs or anything like that?
Bugs can be included, but here, this is a big hint to help you get there really fast. Bugs can be included, but they have to be a certain festive kind of bug, not just any bugs.
Is it a fear of Christmas?
No, but you are close.
Is it a fear of Santa Claus? I don't know why bugs would be involved.
Nope.
In that.
Okay, no, but stay in this mindset. It's not Christmas, but something else.
Is it a fear of Halloween?
Ding, 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 ding. Ooh, that's my Halloween winter noise.
Wow, I'm so smart. I'm just so, so smart. Wow.
Yes, Samwinophobia is a fear of Halloween.
Wait, okay, so why is it called that, though? Why isn't it called, Halloweenophobia?
Wait, can we just keep it simple for the love of spooky things? Okay, yes. Samwinophobia, I'm reading directly from an article. I will cite it very quickly. It's called verywellmind.com. I know nothing about how reputable this site is, but this is where I got this information from. Here we go. Samwinophobia is a term rooted in ancient pagan traditions. The Samhain Festival was centered around massive bonfires, ritual sacrifices to gods, and fortune-telling. Participants generally wore costumes made from animal skins.
Ew. That sounds like a terrifying festival, but it also sounds like Halloween with just like a darker, more macabre twist, like the Halloween we celebrate today. So that's where it came from, I guess.
Exactly. And it is believed that because Halloween is eerie and a culmination of a lot of scary things, Samwinophobia is really a fear of dark things overwhelmingly put together. So that's why it's, in theory, it is actually a combination of other fears, other phobias. So some of the other phobias included are ghosts, witches, vampires, zombies, blood, gore, lightning, masks, animatronics, me, tombstones, clowns, me, loud noises, and the darkness. And actually, the fear of the darkness is another phobia called nyctophobia, which our beloved Keanu Reeves suffers from.
Keanu Reeves is afraid of the dark?
Doesn't it make you love him more?
Yeah. Oh, wow. He's a winner. He's so relatable. Love him. Oh, it's so funny, like, all of these phobias, you know about the the fear of the dark. You even know about like the fear of Halloween. Like there are people who don't like all the things that Halloween entails. But what I think is interesting about this segment is like there are so many random phobias that you had like no idea about. So it's very interesting to me because I had no idea. I just knew what I was afraid of, which was a lot of other things like heights and, you know, drowning in the ocean and other what I thought were fairly sensible things. But who knows?
Turns out you could be afraid of a balloon or dust or air.
I am kind of afraid of balloons. So that is a thing. I am kind of afraid of balloons. Like the idea of like a balloon being blown up and then popping really freaks me out. Like I don't like that. And I don't want to fuck with it. I don't know why.
No, it is scary. It's alarming. Sometimes they sound like maybe, I don't know what a real gunshot sounds like, but sometimes it sounds like maybe it's that when you're in a crowded place and a balloon pops. That's scary.
Yeah. Like even if, you know, we go to like parties and stuff, sometimes like dance parties and they throw balloons back and forth or whatever concerts, they have that. And I'm always like, I don't like it. And I would rather them not. So that's how I feel about that. Yeah,
we're already being stimulated by this event. I don't need the balloons, too.
Exactly. It's too much. It's always too much. Yeah. So, Monica, we talked a little bit about this earlier, but you saw movies in a theater that are spooky in the spooky season. Wow. So many things to do.
Yes.
So many things. So, can you tell us a little bit about the movies that you saw, what you thought of them? What the experience was like seeing them in a theater with a big crowd. Please do tell.
Yes, yes. So this past weekend, I went to Fantastic Fest, which is a fantastic fest in Austin. And I was lucky enough to go because my short film, La Ciudad Siempre, is screened there in front of one of the features. So that was dope. And it was just 3 days of watching movies nonstop. I think we saw 6 films. We had tickets for more, but honestly, we started to burn out. We were like, cannot carry on. And there are 2-3 films in particular that really stood out. 2 for being bonkers. 1 for being like, this is hitting and I love this. And I would actually seek this out to watch it again. The first film that, wow, this thing is wild. It was called The Sadness. It is a Taiwanese film. It was shot on location in Taipei, Taiwan. And the cast is all Asian people. I believe the director is actually Canadian, though. His name is Rob Habaz. I am so sorry if I'm not saying that right. It's J-A-B-B-A-Z. And he's actually mainly a self-taught animator and then now is moving into features. This movie is a shocker, another zombie movie. And I thought that because it was a zombie movie and we've seen them all and how different can they really be from each other after a certain point? That's why I was like, oh, this is going to be whatever. And honestly, it wasn't our first choice. What we really wanted to see, it's like a lottery system and we didn't get tickets for that one. So we went to this one and that's all I knew, that zombie movie. This is the most fucked up zombie movie to exist. And I did read about it later that critics and reviews and whatnot are saying that it is the most violent zombie movie to exist. It has set a new record.
Okay, so when you say fucked up, do you mean fucked up like, wow, so bloody? Or do you mean like, wow, like fucked up me emotionally, etc.?
Both. And oh. I will tell you why. Okay, so this
film
has a new spin on what makes a person a zombie, right? Usually it's, oh, I got bit by this thing that's so slow, I could have easily run away from it, but it bit me and now I'm losing my consciousness. You know, I'm becoming a zombie. I can't think anymore, right? And I have it's just the hunger for flesh and I don't think. That's like the zombie we know. These zombies, it's also very based on COVID. Like it's very obviously like inspired by COVID. There is a pandemic in Taiwan. It's been going on for a year already. And no one is like that sick, but no one's taking it seriously either. Like it's It's become very politicized, you know, like the doctors are like, this is going to get really bad and no one's listening. So that's where we start. But this, all of a sudden, this is where I'm like, I love the science. Obviously, it's not real, but it kind of doesn't check out because it happens all at once, like on the same day. But basically, this virus mutates. And the virus is very closely linked to being rabies. And it basically turns into that. And it breaks the limbic system in your brain, which controls like impulse control. So that it goes away. So now people can still think and speak and are sentient and make decisions. But they only do the most fucked up things they could imagine. The things deep inside your soul that maybe you think about in passing, but you would never actually do, everyone's doing it. Like everyone, you know, what's the most violent thing you've just quickly thought of? They're doing it, you know? And this is where I have to critique the film a little bit because it's very obviously made by a man because there's a lot of sexual assault. You know, there's a lot of that. The biggest trigger warning I can give, if that is something not for you, do not watch this. But you know, they say it at one point, they're like, there's so much sexual assault happening, the men and women, like they're all assaulting each other. But you only see men assaulting women. You never see a woman assault someone. It's always the man doing it. And that's where I'm like, that was a big obvious miss, my man. Like, if you're going to do it both, you know? So.
Or I guess it's like that should be the commentary, I guess. Like if it's only men thinking that, like why is it only the men thinking that? If that is like the concept of it.
I agree with that too. They shouldn't have been like both genders, everyone's doing it, and then only show one doing it, you know?
Yeah. But wow.
There's spoilers on spoilers. I'm sorry. You should all still see it, but I gotta just tell Caitlin. I can't do this and not tell her. Okay. So there is a infected, if you will, infected people bloody orgy scene where it's like five or six people and they're just covered in blood. And it starts with like a granny, you know, it's an old lady. She's like one of the first ones sick and she wanders into this restaurant and everyone's like, ma'am, are you okay? And she picks up a frying basket of French fries and she slams it into this guy's face and then she claws it and his skin comes off and you can see the fat under his skin and the muscle. All of that stuff looks really good. And I'm pretty sure most of it was practical. It looked practical.
I'm pretty sure that she really did that. So.
And you know what? She did claw his face off. He is no more.
It's a very practical effect.
But, oh my God, name a violent thing that could happen to a person. They do it. And you see it, you know? And the arc of the movie is that there's a couple that they start the day together. Then they're separated and all this shit starts happening and it's just them trying to get back to each other so that they can try to escape.
Monica, did you watch a non-zombie movie at Fantastic Fest? Or?
You know, I did see some non-zombie movies. This next one I would say is zombie adjacent. Oh, also, to backtrack, The Sadness did win Best Horror Film at the festival.
Good for you guys.
Well deserved, because that was fucked up. But yeah, so this other film was called The Exorcism of God. And I've said it here several times. I went to Catholic school. I have a very complicated relationship with religion and all the experiences that going to Catholic school will force onto you. So when I tend to stay away from religious-based horror. It's just not my thing. So The Exorcism of God had Joseph Marcel from Fresh Prince. So that was cool. I haven't seen him in anything since Fresh Prince. So I was like, oh, geez, in this. Cool. Like, that's awesome. But it's basically about a priest who is called in to do an exorcism on a young woman, but he is not ready. He has not finished the training. He does not have the blessing of the Vatican to go in and do this. And they're basically like, if you don't do it, she'll die. And it's such obvious nods to The Exorcist, you know, like a woman speaking in a gross man's voice, and she has the yellow eyes, and she's all slimy, and she's being very sexual. So it's like, yeah, if The Exorcist had been made now, it would have looked like that. So the priest gets there, and he's losing this exorcism because he's not ready. And then he does manage to exorcise the demon, but it goes into him. And then it cuts. And then now it's 18 years later, and he is fine. He's a super successful priest. He was fine. He's a super successful priest, whatever that means for them. He's doing really well for his community. The town is also all takes place in Mexico. He's white, which I have some thoughts on. He's white, but it's a town in Mexico, and they love him. Everybody in the town loves him. But then there is this girl in prison who is now possessed again, and it's the same demon. The demon's name is Balban. Will I look that up to see if it's a real demon? I'm a little afraid to, so I haven't. But that's his name. And yeah, it's possessed this girl, same thing, same look. She's fucking creepy. She's chained up. She bites people's fingers off, the usual. And basically, Fresh Prince guy comes now to help, and they go to exorcise the demon together out of the women's prison. Now, he is also being haunted by the demon. Like, they do a sleep paralysis scene, which was, they did very well. They did very fun. Well. And so before they actually go to the prison to do the exorcism, he's getting haunted by, like, things. And this is where I have problems, Caitlin, because this movie created images that if I did this, I would be so scared that I am damned. Like, I'm going to hell.
Like, what?
They did things that when I saw this, I was like, you're not allowed to do that. But I mean, you obviously are.
What is this movie? Do I want to watch? Do I want to know?
I'm going to tell you. You should still watch it.
I also watch it, but should I be prepared, like, emotionally?
I mean, you don't have as much religious baggage as I do, so it might not scare you as much. But for those of you recovering Catholic school kids out there, this is awful. Really quickly, here's the third film. This is the film that my film played with. It was called So Good. And this was probably my favorite film of the whole festival. It was called Saloum, and it is a film from Senegal, and it was so good. So this film was called Saloum. It is from Senegal, and it was directed by Jean-Luc Rubilo. I probably did not say that. But basically, it combines, it's like half a heist film, and the director said it was inspired by Red Dead Redemption. So it's half mercenary heist thing. And then it becomes a horror. It like takes a hard left into like actual horror. And there's like spirits that if you hear them, you die. And I was like, ooh, that's a good pairing with my short. We're the same thing. And also it was drawing from African folklore, these spirits. And basically, there's like these three mercenary dudes who are all very good looking African men. And even though they're mercenaries, they're not really evil. They have a pact, like a brotherhood, and they're like, they're good guys, you know? And they have to extract a member of the cartel from a town in Africa and get him to another country. So they're trying to do that, but then the plane they're in goes down because it runs out of fuel. And then the one guy is like, oh, I kind of know where we are. There's a resort over here, like a mile away. Let's go stay at the resort until the cops stop looking for us. Then we can leave. So they go to the resort, and you find out while they're there that he has ulterior motives. He set this all up. He wanted to go there because the man who runs it abused him as a child. And he's been planning his revenge all this time.
It's an intricate plot. For, yeah. Like,
also, the movie was only 80 minutes long. And it just, like, goes. Like, they crammed a lot of shit in there. And I thought it all worked really well. And it, the moral of the story is that, like, if you seek revenge, you will drown. You will not, you know, you will not be better for seeking revenge. It will only hurt you. And I thought it was brilliantly done. The characters were all really interesting and it was fast paced. Sometimes it felt like a video game and it looked really good. And it wasn't so scary that I couldn't, like, think, you know, like sometimes, like with the sadness with everyone fucking getting their faces ripped off every 4 seconds and there's not really much plot. You know, it's just like, look, violence, 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 violence. And then, like, the violence slowly takes you to the end of the movie. But this was, like, an actual plot with stakes and people making decisions, you know?
I don't know, Monica. That granny who throws the frying oil on that guy's face, that's something I want to watch, weirdly. I don't know what that says about me. I think that says a lot more negative things about me than it needs to, but... Yeah, I mean, that also sounds really cool, though. All of these movies sound so exciting, like, for different reasons. I actually really want to watch all of them.
Yes, I hope you can find them all. I think most of them are having theatrical releases, so you'll be able to see them.
Yay. Well, okay, so I have a question. How was the reception to your short at this festival that has, like, all these horror fans and everything like that?
It was good. It was good. I got to intro it. Yeah, I went up and, like, you know, said hi, and there was lots of applause at the end, a little bit of shrieking when the legs spin around, you know, which is what I always want. And the short did pair really well with the feature. You know, it was both culturally driven folklore, turning into something that maybe you didn't intend to. Again, specific monsters that if you hear them, you're going to die. And yeah, and also taking these cultural beliefs and mixing them with modern problems. And I was like, wow, these went together really well, and it was dope. It was really cool.
Well, Monica, this was a very fun midway through spooky season episode. I'm so excited to continue on our Halloween movies and haunted house journey this month. Yeah, wow.
Yes, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year, Caitlin. It really is.
It really is. Is there anything that you're particularly looking forward to as we close out our spooky season episode?
Oh, good idea. Well, you know, I am still trying to figure out what I'm going to be for Halloween. So anybody has any suggestions, let me know. I have some ideas, but, you know, I usually plan this way. Usually by now, I have already bought everything. And at this point, I'm still figuring it out, which I'm a little nervous about. But if you have any thoughts on that, let me know.
Monica is, like, the queen of Halloween costumes. Like, for as good as you are at Halloween costumes, I am as terrible at Halloween costumes. Like, she always has, like, not, it's not just like, oh, she's a great idea and, like, she bought a costume at Party City. It's like the specific accessories that you buy and find for your costumes. And also, it's like you never pick someone basic. You're never like, oh, I'm going to do, like, you know, whatever. I don't know what's basic. You're never going to be a cat, you know? You're never going to be a cat. You're going to dress your cat up like something innovative.
Yeah. And I but you're never all gonna of be his a cat. Costumes.
Yeah, you told me that you had like 6 costumes for emo.
He's not going to like it, but I will.
I like it too. I fully support it. Sorry, emo. So sorry. With that, Monica, where can they find you?
Oh, yes. We never plug ourselves. Ooh.
I know. It's very exciting.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at HarmonicaBlues or on Twitter as Horror Chata. What about you, Caitlin?
You can find me on Twitter at Riley Tweets, R-E-I-L-O-Y Tweets. Well, it's been great, scaredy cats. Have a very, very happy spooky season, and we will see you next week.
Ooh.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us here today on Scaredy Chat. We hope you were a little scared and maybe a little relieved about your fears. And if you're having fun listening to this podcast, please rate and review and subscribe so you never miss it and you're ready with us every week. And hey, make sure you follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram at scaredychat_podcast. And maybe you have a fear and you're wondering if other people are afraid of it too? Well, we probably are, but you should email us your fears at story@scaredychatpod.com and maybe we'll talk about it on the show. Till next time, scaredy cats. Bye. Scaredy Chat was developed and hosted by Caitlin Riley and Monica Moore Suriyagi, produced by Jeff Swimmer, editing and sound design by Fitz Harris, theme music by Eric Fashingbauer, with samples by Jeff Zahn and Jack Lenz, and Gail Gilman is the executive producer.